Let me say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
It is a blessing to be in your presence, and I appreciate Brother Thompson for that introduction. Before I get started, words cannot express my love for this congregation, for Brother Hicks, for the elders. Words cannot express how much I appreciate you and what you have meant to my life. My subject this morning is entitled, For They Loved the Praise of Men More Than the Praise of God. I'm a little emotional this morning, so please bear with me. When you consider the text in John chapter 12, it illuminates the fact that many love the praise of men more than the praise of God. If we were to give a context as to exactly what this particular verse in Scripture is referring to, we would turn to John chapter 20, looking at verses number 30. The text says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but those that are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name."
Amen.
When you consider this text of Scripture, John is giving us the bookend of his epistle and letting us know that Jesus performed many miracles. But our attention this morning isn't upon the many miracles that he did that are not in the book, but the ones that are in the book. And the ones that are written in the book have the purpose to allow us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that in believing we might have life through his name. So just for a few moments on this morning, let's identify the miracles that John denotes that Jesus performed. Now, we know there are many others in the other gospels, but let's focus on what John has written. In the book of John chapter 2, we see that Jesus performed the first miracle that John identifies when he turned water into wine in the city of Cana. In John chapter 4, Jesus heals a nobleman's son. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals a lame man. In John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 with fish and loaves. In John chapter 6 later, verse number 16, Jesus walks on water. In John chapter 9, Jesus heals a man who had been born blind. And in John chapter 11, Jesus resurrects Lazarus from the grave. So we see that Jesus in the book of John has performed these miracles that he recorded. And by these miracles, we can glean that Jesus is the Son of God. But the problem that we see in this particular text is not that Jesus, the miracles that he performs were true and sufficient for them, is that men just simply failed to believe. We're going to explore as to why that might be the case, but I also want to highlight specific instances in Scripture where we see that they had all that God had provided for them to believe. They just made the decision not to do so. So when you consider what the Bible says as to why some men might not believe that Jesus is the Christ, it could be a lack of love. The Bible identifies a lack of love in John chapter 5, verse number 39, that love, a lack of love, can be a hindrance as to why some fail to believe that Jesus is the Christ. The Bible says in verse number 39 of John chapter 5 as it relates to this subject, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in your hearts." The Bible says that the love of things can also be a hindrance as to why men fail to believe in Jesus Christ. Brother Garland Robinson did a fantastic exegesis of that last night, that the love of things, materialistic things, can be a hindrance as to why some men fail to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says that the love of darkness can be a hindrance as to why some men fail to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The text says in verse number 19 of John chapter 3, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Sometimes men love darkness, and like roaches, when you turn on the light, they scatter because they hate the illumination of the light. Same as men, they hate the illumination of the word of God reproving their sinful deeds. Sometimes there is a love of nationalism. Men love their heritage more than the love of God. The criticisms men made about Jesus is that he did not come from the place they expected the Messiah to come through. They said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, guess what? It did. It was the best that heaven had to offer. Men had prejudice against Jesus that he came from the region of Galilee. Men failed to believe Jesus because of his heritage. There are also people who believe that these particular cities were inferior to the places they wanted the Messiah to come from. They were longing for a kingdom after the similitude of David and Solomon, and they wanted a return to the glory days of Israel. But what they were not looking for was a suffering Savior who came from meager means, a man who was a servant more than he was what they expected him to be. Sometimes our relationships, whether they are familial, whether they are friendships, can hinder our belief in God. We see in John chapter 7 that even the brothers of Jesus Christ did not believe who he said he was. The Bible says in John 7 verse number 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. All of these hindrances and obstacles are things that men place above them submitting to the obedience of God. So we see in these instances, these can prevent someone from obeying the gospel, but also believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So in John chapter 12, we are given a spectacular day after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Jesus is in the region of Bethany, and in Bethany, people are flocking to the house where Lazarus lives. Not only do they want to see Jesus, but they want to see the evidence of whom Jesus has raised from the dead. They want to see the man whom everyone knew had been dead longer than 3 days. They knew that he had been in the grave long enough that his body had been stinking. But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus came forth whole and not some walking zombie. People flocked to Bethany to see Lazarus and Jesus. We see later that a love of things is going to be revealed once more in Judas, because when Mary washes the feet of Jesus with her hair, Judas says, well, you know, we could have used that money on something else. Well, he was a thief, the love of things. But we see that the Pharisees also have a great pull upon the people at this particular time. If we were to examine John chapter 2, we would see that Jesus, after he had ran out the money changers, that the result of those money changers in the temple found themselves in this particular position in top of the miracles he performed. Verse number 23 of John 2 says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. The problem of that is that their belief was simply surface level. It was superficial. They believed the miracles rather than the intent behind the miracles or the word that it involved. Any miracle, sign, or wonder that was performed, it was never performed just for the sake of doing the miracle, sign, or wonder. It always confirmed the word. It always confirmed something. And we see that these individuals in John chapter 2 were just simply wowed by the miracles. Their belief was superficial. It wasn't genuine. It did not have roots. So when they found themselves under some type of duress, they would stop believing. We see that in the seed principle in Luke chapter 8 of the seed of the sower. We see later that Jesus is going to encounter a man named Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and Nicodemus cannot get past his physical senses. He's failing to see the spirituality in what Jesus is professing. He literally thinks that a man can be born again of his mother while he is full grown. Now imagine me, 6'3" and 2, well, we're not going to talk about that, being born again in the womb of my mother, but that's what Nicodemus, this teacher of the people, believed. He failed to miss the spirituality of the message that Jesus was giving him. In John chapter 4, we see that Jesus is in Samaria because he had must needs he go to Samaria. And he's talking to this woman at the well about spiritual matters. In fact, when he begins to encounter this woman, she understands, whoa, this man has told me some things about myself that I've tried to keep hidden, but he knows everything. She goes back to the city and runs in broad daylight and said, is this the Christ? Is this the Christ? I have met a man who has told me all that I have ever done. Some believed on her word, but others bidded Jesus to come into the city, and after a certain amount of days, then they believed based upon their testimony because they had interacted with Jesus and believed that he was the Christ. We see in John chapter 5 that the Pharisees and these individuals begin to plot to get into the full-blown murder business. Jesus healed a lame man on the Sabbath day. And look what verse number 16 says. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hithereth, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father and making himself equal with God. Lord have mercy. A man had been healed who would now be profitable to society. A man who now had the ability to walk, who was no longer lame. They placed the emphasis on the tradition rather than what had been performed by the Son of God. We continue to read in John chapter 6 that Jesus is having a spiritual conversation about the bread of life. And these men are so confused and so discombobulated, they fail to see the spiritual significance of what Jesus has stated. And the Bible tells us, and from that time, many turned and walked with him no more. Jesus simply turned to his disciples and said, Will you also go? Peter boldly said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We see in John chapter 7 that Jesus continues to perform his work, but we see that the people are fearful of the Jews, of the chief rulers, of the Pharisees. They are in fear of these individuals. The Bible says in John chapter 7, verse number 13, Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, fear can be paralyzing and it can be crippling if we allow it to be so. We see that many people believed on Jesus, but for fear of the rulers, they failed to confess him openly. We see later that this particular attitude is going to perpetuate itself even further, because we're going to find that Jesus is going to heal a blind man in John chapter 9. And in healing this blind man, this man who had been born his entire life, who had only known blindness, and when he now receives sight from Jesus, the rulers would question, how is this possible? They would question the man. They thought this was some trick, but they would question the man, and then they went to go ask his parents. But because of fear of the rulers, look how his parents would respond to their questioning. Look what the Bible says as it relates to this in John chapter 9 and looking at verse number 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. You would have think that his parents would have been so glad that our son, who has only known blindness and now can see, how was that possible? Jesus. But look how they respond. And they asked them, the rulers asking the parents, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Now, why would they respond in that fashion? Well, the Bible is his own best commentary. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Fear is a paralyzing thing. Cowardice is a paralyzing thing. Having or lacking the ability or the courage or the wherewithal to confess something as it is paralyzing. We see in John chapter 10, as Jesus sends out his disciples under the limited commission and instructing them what they should take on this particular journey and what they should speak on this particular journey, he says later in John chapter 10 regarding himself that no man taketh from me regarding this life, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. But we see later that Jesus is going to zero in on something in particular in verse number 32. Jesus says, Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these do you stone me? Again, men fail to miss the message that was being taught by Jesus, and they failed to believe that what he confirmed by the miracles prove the fact that he was exactly whom he said he was, whom the Bible had prophesied long ago that he was. He was that child in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 14 who was born of a virgin. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, but men failed to believe such because of the obstacles they had placed before themselves. Sometimes our hearts can be hardened because we are so obstinate against the truth that we will refuse to believe those things that are plainly in front of us. We're seeing through our physical eyes and missing the spiritual vision that God has given us to recognize what is in front of us is the truth. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10 and 32 and 33 through Matthew's account of the limited commission. He says, if you confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who art in heaven. But if you deny me before my Father who is in heaven, him will I deny also. We see that having the courage to confess Jesus as is who he is important. And the result of us doing such is that Jesus therefore confesses us before his Father who is in heaven. But if we fail to do so, then brothers, sisters, friends, and family, we have no expectation of Jesus confessing us before his Father who is in heaven. Now, when you consider my lesson for this morning, John chapter 12, it is important for us to understand that we today cannot be cowards. We cannot be bootlickers. We cannot be sycophants. We cannot be cotton candy individuals who lack courage in being able to say what the truth is. When you consider what John says in John chapter 12 as it relates to this growing, this foreboding that is continuing to increase and grow because men are envious of Jesus. They are set in stone on their traditions and want to maintain their traditions. They love the praise of men more than God. They are men pleasers. And look what the text says in verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. The Bible then gives us two references to Isaiah in chapter 38 of John chapter 12, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah chapter 53, that great verse which goes on to prophesy our suffering Savior as to what he would endure at Calvary's mountain. How he would endure the sins of the world and carry our sins, and he being sinless, how he would hang on that cross for six long agonizing hours for the sins you and I have committed. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, Jesus just didn't die. He suffered. He suffered on that cross. And when he died, he shed his precious blood. Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 53 would also allude to the fact that Jesus would be laid in a grave, and in that grave he would be resurrected. Our suffering Savior, who is now at the right hand of the Father. In verse number 39, we get another piece of Isaiah that is connected from Isaiah chapter 9. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. All that Jesus had done up until this point, all that Jesus had taught to this point, yet many people still refuse to believe on him. The text says in verse number 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. To that I have to say, amen, that even some of the chief rulers were convicted that Jesus was the Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. And again, the reason being is what had been previously stated in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 13, for fear of the rulers, for fear of being put out of the synagogue. It's the same modus by which the parents of the blind man who can now see refuse to say that Jesus is the one who made our son have the ability to see. We see that many of the rulers believe, but because of the Pharisees. You know, as I live this life and every day that I'm blessed to live by God, I see that men have a tendency to want to be big shots. They want to be known and recognized of men. That's important to them. Sometimes men don't have the stature that they would prefer to have. Maybe they haven't done things in their life in which the world could acknowledge as being significant. Or maybe these are just men who don't have the educational background as others, so they consider them lesser than themselves. And sometimes men are seeking, they are gravitating toward those individuals to validate who they are. They are seeking these types of lauding these types of things upon them so that they can have some recognition about themselves and feel good about themselves. It's preposterous, but it is something that is genuine. It never fails that when I read interviews from entertainers that they always say that there is something about when I perform, when I am before 100,000 people, it is something euphoric that I get when they are calling my name, praising my name, when they are doing all those things to uplift me, there is something I get out of that. But we see that there is something that men value in that. I can remember some years ago playing football, and it would never fail when I would be playing football, and when I'd be on the sideline waiting for my next play, I'd hear the crowd calling, Anthony, Anthony, but I would ignore all that because there were two voices that I wanted to make sure that I could hear above everybody else. And it would be my mother saying, Anthony Flunder, number 75. It would be my father, Anthony Flunder, number 75. And even when my brother was in the stands and when he'd go in the band and play his cornet, my mother would say, Christopher Flunder playing the cornet. They would praise us, and we appreciated that praise. And there's nothing wrong with praise, but as long as we keep it in its significance and priority. They always emphasize, son, this is important, but you need to make sure you hear on that day in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 23, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. Some men want the praise of men more than them being recognized as having done what all God commanded them to do on the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters, unfortunately, to our detriment, we are still living in a time where this is not just a phenomenon to the first century. There are still men who love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You wonder sometimes why preachers and elders in some congregations go off the deep end. How men who have been commanded by God to meet those qualifications to convince the gainsayer all of a sudden don't have the courage or who don't have the courage to do what God wants them to do. How easily they say, well, we studied this subject for a considerable amount of time and came to this conclusion that we're going to go ahead and bring in mechanical instruments of music. You coward. You phony. You sycophant. You bootlicker. You're not an elder. You're an elder. And then we see other congregations who at one time stood for the truth, but their business now is entertainment. They want to please the people. Oh, they like the filthy lucre that they're able to attain from this, so they start incorporating things independent of what God's word has to say. If you were to come inside my house, I keep a mailer sometimes from sister congregations, Brother Hicks, and it'll say neighborhood event. We'll have food, barbecue, jump houses for the kids. Just come and celebrate and have a good time. And I'll stick them on my wall just so I don't forget of what's happening where I live. And I read that and I see nothing about classes being taught. I see nothing about evangelism. I just see stuff and stuff being thrown at people independent of the word. And as long as you continue to offer somebody Disneyland, you've got to continue to give them Disneyland. As long as you continue to offer people stuff, you've got to continue giving them stuff. We see this example in the Bible when Jesus fed the 5,000, that there were some people who were just there for the stuff and not for the substance of the word. Amen. So therefore, their faith was superficial. It wasn't rooted in anything. So when they found themselves tested by temptation, those people easily fell away. In fact, these are the same people who were benefactors of being healed by Jesus. They were benefactors of having demons cast out of them. They were benefactors of having heard Jesus preach the gospel. But these are the same people, when Pilate presented to them Jesus, they were bitten on for fear of the Pharisees. They said, crucify him, crucify him. That phenomena is not unique to the first century. The Bible goes on to say in John chapter 12, in verse number 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Why, John? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. This word love is one which is the theme of this great lectureship, is that agape is the love in question here, but their actions is that they love what men did for them. They appreciated how they were lauded. They wanted the praise of men, and they held it to a higher degree, to a higher standard. They valued it more than the praise that God gives. Well, we said the different things that can be a benefactor to men having this attitude. But brothers and sisters, as I look in Acts chapter 7 and see Stephen stand bold before those Jews at that particular time, I don't see one amen in that text that the audience gave Stephen for preaching the truth. No, I see a preacher stand flat-footed, 10-toe downs, and stand on the gospel. The Bible tells that when the time came for Stephen to be lauded or appreciated, the text says that he looked up in the sky and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. That should be the praise that you and I should be seeking, brothers and sisters. But what hinders us? What prevents us from having the boldness to call it like it is? Some of us today have a fear to tell people that there is only one church. Some men have a fear of telling people that the Lord's church has a name in which it can be identified and don't even want to mention the Church of Christ. Some men disdain that the church is the bride of Christ, and they must be ashamed because the Bible says he gave himself for it. Yes. The church is glorious. Amen. And yet we fail to show the distinctive nature of what sets us apart from the rest of the world. Men also have a favor to want to tell Jesus or tell the people whom Jesus is of the Bible. The opinions that people have formulated about Jesus are contrary to what the Bible says. Men are more inclined to accept Jesus as an infant in a manger rather than Jesus as a savior on the cross or Jesus sitting on the right hand of his Father commanding the world what they should do. They want the lamb, but they most certainly don't want the lion. They want the paracletos, but they don't want the judge. But even we have a tendency sometimes to not present Jesus as he is. Brothers and sisters, friends and family, Jesus just did not die. He suffered. I'm so glad last night the brother Heath Stapleton told us that blood is involved in the gospel message. The power of the blood of Jesus is what saves us. It is the blood of Jesus that we must be washed in, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5. It is the blood of Jesus that justifies us, Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It is the blood of Jesus that sanctifies us, Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 12. So we need to put an emphasis and re-emphasize the importance of that man from Galilee, that man who was both God and human flesh when he hung on the cross. He said in John chapter 12 and verse number 32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we don't even lift up the Christ. The significance of what he endured is vital. He became sin for us. He carried the penalty for sin. He was the curse that was on the tree. He carried those burdens for our behalf. And if we are ashamed, the people have gotten so squeamish to tell it like it is, then shame on you. Shame on those cowards who failed to confess Jesus as Lord because they loved the praise of men more. They valued it more than the praise of God. Even in John chapter 12, we see where the Father glorifies the Son, and yet his creation, whom he so loved, were too fearful to do so because of men. You know, those individuals are going to have to give an account on the day of judgment. Individuals today who fail to do so are going to have to give an account on the day of judgment. It is apparent that many Jews did believe, but for various reasons they failed to confess Jesus as Lord. To confess Jesus during this time period, it wasn't the popular thing to do. In fact, many in our society today, many of our so-called brethren also take the same approach, that what we teach is antiquated. it's old-fashioned. It's simply a tradition and not necessarily what the Bible says. Well, I'll agree with them on one thing. It is a tradition, and it is after the tradition of the apostles. There are individuals who say that what used to be taught no longer works. Well, you know why it doesn't work? Because you're not doing it the way God said.
That's right.
The Bible then says that because of this, men failed to confess Jesus because they valued being in the synagogue. Believing on Jesus could also bring about a rebuke from the elders, from the rulers rather. You mean to tell me that members of the Church of Christ have that same fear? I mean, if there is any individuals who should be ready to die, it should be us. The news mentioned on a couple of days ago that there were threats that the FBI had received that some terrorist agents have talked about causing harm to people in religious institutions. And I preached yesterday. Yeah, I read that too, but we shouldn't have any concern of that. Now, if someone were to come in here and wanted to act a fool and cause harm, we are not going to let them do that. But if one of us should lose our life in the process, threaten me with heaven. All who live godly shall suffer persecution. The Bible then tells us that as men value the praise of men and the glory of men more, that the degree in which they do so will be detrimental to their souls. People lack conviction. People who don't have courage or people who lack conviction seek out praise or glory from others. They prioritize this praise from other people. It actually matters to them what people think or say about them. They gravitate toward these individuals like a fish seeing a shiny worm in the water. They ingratiate themselves to these men because their praise lifts them up from the depths of their weaknesses, of their insecurities, and their cowardice. Never mind that it is God who manifested his love or commended his love toward us in his son Jesus, that while we were sinners, he died for us. I'm so glad that on that day when Jesus was on that cross, that he ignored its shame, that he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Even in the midst of him being naked and bloody and his visage was so marred more than the sons of men, he considered it not a shame to stand on behalf of his brethren and to endure the indignities of the crucifixion that they were lauding toward him. If we allow men to control how we think, brothers and sisters, we are in trouble. If we allow men to control what we should say, then brothers and sisters, we are in trouble. I have seen in my time, and it always amazes me, how people who have educational background, who have completed what schools and our institutions say are necessary for this educational level of achievement, how they will simply dispense with truth and logic and believe the most outrageous things. Where we will simply do away with the logic and the faculty that God has given us, which he has given us the ability to reason and to think.
Yes.
You know, simple logic, people simply ignore that. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Men will completely ignore that. So when they consider the firm evidence that is placed before them, the preponderance of evidence that is placed before him, the mountain of evidence that is placed before them. And when you consider the source that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, they will simply throw that out the window because they do not believe the Bible as the word of God. And friend, if you don't believe that the Bible is the word of God, then neither can you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When you consider the importance of utilizing the faculty God has given us, he has given us all that is necessary that we can make heaven our home. Sometimes men can be hard-barked. They can be obstinate. They can be indifferent. They can be so hardened that it can be impossible to be able to share anything with them or for them to get past themselves to believe it. I have seen instances when we read the book of John where we see all of the logical fallacies that the Jews have committed. And in some process throughout this book, we see all of them commit these fallacies at some point or another. Straw man approach. Well, they can't refute what Jesus said, so they'll just use the straw man approach and hurl indignities out here. They'll appeal to the authority. Has anybody confessed him? Well, the Pharisees haven't done it yet, so you shouldn't be messing around with that. What do you mean to say? That they control how you think, that you are appealing to them, that you would rather have them tell you what to do, what to eat, when to go to the bathroom, more so than what you can see with your own eyes and use your logic to do so. That's exactly what was taking place. These individuals love the praise of men more than the praise of God. As I consider why this is so important for us today, and I think is it a blessing that we have so many schools of preaching who are in this audience on today, you young preachers, you stand on the word of God. Amen. You stand on the gospel.
Yes,
don't be a coward. Don't be a bootlicker for other men. Don't preach cotton candy sermons. You give us what we need. I'm someone who is convicted in the gospel. In fact, I'm so convicted, Brother Dendy, that I have no care in the world for what happens in November. Because I know what ails the world isn't that we need a new president. What ails the world is that we need to be preaching this gospel to all who will hear it. We have failed to go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature so that man has an opportunity to know what they must do to be saved. But yet, we have a tendency sometimes to love the praise of men more than the praise of God. We would rather find commonality with people politically rather than be afraid of not having commonality in our understanding of the word of God. Wait. So y'all spent up and had an hour-long conversation about politics. Did you ever share the gospel with that individual knowing they're not a Christian? You know, they may be someone on the day of judgment who say to Jesus Christ, well, you know, Jane Doe never mentioned him to me. Look, I'm aware that nobody will be without excuse on the day of judgment. But what we must understand, the commandment we have been given is to go and preach this gospel, stand bold on the gospel, and whatever comes at us, so be it. Paul said there were instances when no man stood with him except the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is standing with you. That's good enough for me. That should be good enough for you. If all men abandon you and it's just you, don't think you're there alone. If you're standing on the truth, the Lord is standing right there with you. But it has become so small a thing, and men fear having to stand by themselves. If you consider our suffering Savior on the cross, on the day that he was taken before the kangaroo courts of Annas and Caiaphas and Herod and Pilate, that when he found himself in those situations, the 12 who had been with him scattered. One denied him thrice, and another who said he had his back way back. But ultimately, Jesus bare the sins of all of us by himself. We should commit ourselves and have a conviction for the truth in that same fashion. That if we find ourselves by ourselves, don't forget, if we're standing on the truth, God is, his son is, and we are simply confirming what the Spirit has given us through the apostles. Neither do I pray for these alone, but for them also who believe on me through their word. It would be Jesus who would tell Didymus, also called Thomas, that blessed are they who believe who have not seen. That's us. We've got to take this message to a lost and dying world. May we never be individuals who love the praise of men more than the praise of God. God bless you.